that you're ready to go.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Walter. It's good to be back. Good to see everyone again. I remember so very well the meetings we had here last year. I rejoiced in those. I want you to take your Bibles with you this afternoon and turn to my text. You'll find it over in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, chapter 4, and verse 9 and 10. Just two verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verses 9 and verse 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez. He will cause pain, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, and he said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my borders, my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not hurt me, grieve me, cause me pain. And God granted him that which he requested. I want to try to leave you, if I can, this afternoon with one thought that may profit you. And that's this: God can bless a man. If I can just leave you with that thought in your mind as you go back to your life next week and to serve the Lord and worship Him, just this one thought: God can bless a man. It was said here that Jabez called on the God of Israel and asked Him to bless him, and the God of Israel blessed him. I jotted down several scriptures here concerning the God that Jabez called upon. There's different gods with a little G. And they can't bless anybody.
No, that's right.
I'm talking about the God who is able to bless a man. The God who can bless a man. And that's the covenant God. The God of Israel can bless a man. Listen to some of these scriptures where he is identified. Listen to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. A very, very familiar scripture. David calling on the God of Israel. And here's what he says to him. David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Now listen to this. This is the God that Jabez called on. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine, O Lord, is the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All that is in the heaven is thine, and all that's in the earth is thine. Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom, and thou art exalted as head over all. That's a great God, ain't it? Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That's David's estimation of the God of Israel. Listen to what Solomon said about it. Solomon prayed unto the Lord God of Israel and said, there is no God like thee. There's no God like thee. What a way to begin a prayer to God. There's no God like thee in heaven or in earth, which keepeth covenant and shows mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spaketh with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. Listen to what Hezekiah said about this God of Israel. Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, and he said, O Lord God of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, and thou hast made heaven and earth. Isaiah said this about it. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, our Savior. And listen to what God says about himself. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountain in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. This is the God that Jabez called upon. And you come over to the New Testament and it says things like this. The Lord who is over all. He's over all. Not only the New Testament describes him as being a sovereign covenant God, but you come to the New Testament and he says he's the God who is over all. And he's rich. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He's rich in all of his saving attributes. He's rich unto all that call upon him. The God of Israel. That's Israel's God. He's the covenant God. Thou art my servant. I have chose thee, O Israel. I'm the Lord that created thee. I'm the Lord that formed thee. O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You're mine. That's the God he called upon. Israel shall be saved in the Lord. In the Lord Jesus Christ, Israel shall be saved. Amen. That poor, I don't know what's going to happen to that poor nation over there in Palestine. I don't know if God's regathering them to do anything for them or not. But there's another Israel. There's an Israel of God. He's our God, and we're his people. And Jabez called on this covenant God, this triune God. God the Father who chose his people, God the Son who redeemed his people, and God the Holy Spirit which regenerates his people and implants in their hearts his saving graces. The covenant God of Israel. I am the Lord, and there's none else. Besides me, there is no God. This was the God he called upon and asked the Lord to bless him. He knew that this God was able to bless him. He knew that he was willing to bless him because he's a covenant God. He promised Abraham hundreds of years before Jabez lived, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So what does this man do? He turns his faith into words. And he says, O God of Israel, bless me. And it was said, your God heard his prayer and granted him his request. God can bless a man, brothers and sisters. God knows how to bless a man. God is able to bless a man. Jabez is not the only one who called on this God. Listen to how David called on him. David said this, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard me. He heard me. lady told me one time, she said, the Lord saved me, and it surprised me. It surprised you, didn't it? Aren't you surprised? Aren't you even surprised today when he hears you? He heard me. And my cry came before him, even unto his ear. And David said this, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous unto mercy unto all of those who call upon you. Here's how God says it. Call unto me in the day of your trouble, and I will answer you, and you shall glorify me. You know, you and I have continual access unto this God. We have free access unto his presence. There's never any time of day, any situation we find ourselves in, any condition, but we're free to go into the very presence of the God of Israel. Because he's raised his son from the dead, set him on his own right hand, and Jesus Christ takes his sweet incense of obedience and puts it upon the prayers of his saints, and they're accepted to this God of Israel. And when he came to this world, remember what he told us, that men should always pray and not to faint. And Jabez just took him at his word. And he called upon him and said, Lord, bless me. And he heard Jabez's prayer and he blessed him. Now let's look quick at this. I won't keep you very long. First of all, I want to emphasize what I think the Holy Spirit has emphasized here with this man. And I want to do it something like this. Who is this man? Who in the world is this man? We don't know. The Jewish historians speculate that it could be this man or it could have been that man, but they just don't know. Commentaries speculate, who is this man? They don't know when for sure he lived. They're not for sure who his dad and mom was. They're not for sure how old he was. They don't know if he was a poor man or a rich man. Who was this man? What was the state of the church when he lived? What was the state of the economy? Nobody knows. He just shows up out of nowhere. And he makes this request, Lord God, bless me. And the Lord blesses him and he goes off the scene and he's never heard from again. Who knows who he was? And I think this is the point that the Holy Spirit is stressing unto us. Nothing else matters about this man. But this, he called on the God of Israel and he heard him and blessed him. Here's what you and I are often doing. We want to set these prerequisites. We want to set these conditions on the Lord hearing us. We can't go to him just as we find ourselves. Well, Bruce, we're living, you know, in such an awful time. Look at what a bad, immoral state our country's got itself into and perversion on every hand. It's just so awful. We're living just an awful time. Yes, we are. And look at the church, how materialistic it's got, and everything is so cold. And besides, in my life, it's just, my life is a mess. And my family's so dysfunctional. And I've got so many things I need to straighten out myself. And what we secretly do sometimes, we have this notion that we need to be just a little bit better before we pray. We've got to add just a little bit more faithfulness to our Christian life. We need to read more. Say, we want to read more. We want to pray more. And then when we get all of these things together, and then we feel worthy, then we'll go and ask the Lord, Lord, bless me. I wish we could have got rid of all this self-righteousness and legalism when the Lord saved us. But it hangs on to us, doesn't it? Here this man comes out of nowhere. And let's be honest, where do we find him? God knows how we feel about reading these genealogies. I can't even pronounce these names. I get all bored, don't you? But out of this boring passage of Scripture, this man shows up. And we don't know anything about him. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing to us. It doesn't matter. Here we are. Does your life ever get boring? Just ho-hum? Mine does. What a perfect time to go say, oh, Lord God of Israel, you can bless me. You bless this man. What kind of condition was he in? I don't know. That's the point. He accepts us right where he finds us. Does he not? I remember when I was a teenager and I was so afflicted in my conscience. And one of the things that kept me from coming to God was I thought that I had to be good enough. My life was a mess. I had these sins and I couldn't quit doing them. And I knew that until I could get rid of them, I couldn't approach unto him. And I thought of 1,000 things I needed to do. But I never come to him until he brought me to the place where he made me see, I'm going to save you right where you are. And then he saved me. I called upon him right where I was in the awful, guilty condition, ruined by the fall. I went to him just like I was. And I think what the Holy Spirit here is emphasizing, that's the thing that mattered with this man. It doesn't matter anything else about who he was, what the state of the church was, what everybody else was doing, how bad things was. He went to the Lord God of Israel just as he found himself. Dear child of God, do you believe God is able to bless you? Do you really believe he's able to bless you? Do you believe he's able to bless you right where you are? Without you having to get everything together. And make amends. And be more faithful. I don't know if this is proper theology or not, but go to him and try him. Go to him and try him. There's the first thing concerning this man. The second thing we find out about him here is the Scripture says he was more honorable than his brethren. Some of the commentators said he could have been a man of great wealth or riches or strength or integrity, and that made him honorable. Man of great courage. I don't know what this man did in the eyes of man, but I know what makes a man honorable. I know what makes a man honorable. The Bible tells us. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 6. You remember when Saul was looking for his father's asses and his servant said, there's a prophet over there. In that town, we need to go see him. And this is the way he describes him. There is in this city a man of God. And he is honorable. In the same breath, he's a man of God. He's honorable. What makes a man honorable? When God makes him. Let the blood of Jesus Christ touch a man's conscience. And I tell you what he'll do. He'll turn from his dead works. The blood of Jesus Christ purges our conscience from dead works to do what? To serve the living God. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. He is a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things are become new, and all things are of God. All things of this new creature, it's of God. You have the old creature, and he's of this earth. He's earthy. But you have this new creature, and he's from heaven. He's born from above. He's God's man. That's what makes a man honorable. I don't know what he may have done in the eyes of man to be honorable in the eyes of man, if this is what he's talking about, but I know why he did it. A man who is born again is a man of honesty. A man who is born of God loves the truth, does he not? He's a man of integrity. He's not a perfect man. This man wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man of God. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. When God loves a man, that love will become reciprocal, and you'll love him back. And love worketh no ill to his neighbor. I don't know why he did what he did before man. I don't know what he did, but I know why he did it. I know why he was an honorable man. God made him that way. Something else is said about this fellow here. In verse 9, we're told he had an awful, awful beginning. His mother named him Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. The margin says he will cause sorrow. She probably said, boy, you give me a lot of trouble in my womb. You've kicked me, a lot of pain coming out of my womb. And she's probably somewhat upset with him. You caused me a lot of pain, you're going to cause other people pain, and you're going to cause yourself some sorrow. He had a bad beginning, didn't he? Bless his heart. How would you like for your mother to name you Jabez? Every time he messed up, every time he hurt somebody's feelings, he thought of his name. My mother named me good. All I've done is cause people sorrow. All I've done is cause myself sorrow. He had a bad beginning. You and I have a bad beginning too, don't we? Well, we were born bad. We came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. Man that's born of woman is of a few days, and he's full of trouble. Marvin's quoted dear Pastor Richardson, Brother Scott. He often said a Christian is either coming into trouble, or he's in the midst of trouble, or he's going out of trouble. Trouble, sorrow, pain. He caused his mother pain. Boy, you young children, any young children here, honor your mother and your father. Boy, don't ever talk back to them. Don't never go up to your daddy and your mother and say, I hate you. Oh, don't never do that. You're looking at a man who caused his mother some sorrow. And I tell you, I've suffered for it in my own conscience. Honor your father and your mother. That's the first commandment with promise, isn't it? You and I live in a body of death. Live in a crooked and perverse society. in a world of disappointments, uncertainty, and grief. Just like Jabez. But you know what he did? Right in the midst of his sorrows, he called on the God of Israel. And he said, bless me. And he did. And he did. Let me say this concerning the blessings of the Lord. He tells us here in verse 10, when God blesses a man, he's blessed indeed. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. That means real. That means something that's a fact. Oh, bless me indeed. You know, some people, bless their hearts, they spend their life just muckraking around in this world, don't they? Laboring to get their hands on a few things. And then after a while of having them, you have to leave them. I've got a dear neighbor of mine, and I see him. I call him Bunyan's Muckraker. If you ever read Bunyan's Muckraker. I saw him down the other day, and he took an old house down, and he stacked all the different sizes of lumber up. He just all been over, carrying different pieces of lumber, putting in different piles. I thought of Bunyan's old muckraker. People are like that with this world, aren't they? And after they get it all together, it's just so much sorrow, so great a hindrance to them. Solomon said, I sought it. And he said, I got it. And after I got it and had it for a while, I found it to be vexation of spirit. It just grieves me to death. But you know what the Bible says about the Lord's blessings? The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And listen, he addeth no sorrow with it. When the Lord blesses you, there's no sorrow that goes along with that blessing. I can tell you how you know when the Lord's blessed you with material things and they're a real blessing and not a curse. Three little ways that you can examine to see. One, it's not a grief to get them. He sort of just lets them fall into your lap. Number two, it's not a grief to keep them and share them. And number three, it won't be a grief to let them go when it's time. Bless me, O Lord, indeed. But I doubt seriously if he was talking too much about natural blessings. This is a spiritual book. Paul mentioned there a minute ago about the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. There's no sorrow with those spiritual blessings, are there? No. Oh my goodness. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression. You ever been sorry about that? He has justified us from all things. You ever been sorry about that? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I've never been sorry about that of you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again to receive you unto myself. Oh, that's never caused me any sorrow, has it you? That's the blessings of the Lord. Those are real. Those are blessings indeed. The spiritual blessings that's in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, to lift up your heart and say by the grace of God, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the blessings of God, brothers and sisters. He asked for three things. Notice this right quickly. He asked for three things. One, he said, Lord, enlarge my borders, my coast. Did he desire more land? He may have. He was a Jew. They wanted the land of Canaan, didn't they? Maybe some Canaanite had taken the land next to him and he wanted it back. Lord, enlarge my coast. But I think there's a good spiritual application here. Listen to what David said in Psalms 119 and verse 32. I shall run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Boy, we got a race to run, haven't we? We have. We got a course to finish. And boy, there's obstacles all over the place. And along the road, there's instructions for us to follow as we run. But you know what we need to run this race more than anything else? An enlarged heart. Boy, if you've got a heart, that'll help you to run when nothing else will. You ever seen some ball team that they're not very good, they're just mediocre, but nobody can beat them? And the reason they give for it is this. Boy, they play with a heart. They play with heart. That's what we need in our run, in our race, isn't it? God, enlarge my heart that I may run the way of thy commandments. Sometimes we got deep valleys, long valleys. We got high hills. We need a heart. When your understanding sometimes fails you, when your faith is weak, if God will enlarge your heart, you can run. Give me a heart. Enlarge my heart. Enlarge the borders of my heart's comprehension, that I may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. We got a great Savior, brothers and sisters. His mercy is higher than the heavens. It'll take Him for all eternity to tell out His kindness to us. His faithfulness in the very clouds and beyond. He is so full of these saving merits. But you know what our problem is? Our hearts are so small. Lord, enlarge my heart and then fill it with yourself. Enlarge my heart. Oh, what a blessing if He enlarged our hearts. That thy hand may be with me. That's what he prayed for. Bless me that thy hand may be with me. Listen to these passages of Scripture. The Bible teaches us that God has a strong hand. Isaiah 40 and verse 10. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. My hand also has laid the foundation of the earth. That's a strong hand, eh? Listen to this big hand. He's measured the waters in the hollow of his hands. Listen to this redeeming hand. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Listen to this securing hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Listen to this upholding hand. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And what if we do fall? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord will uphold him with his hand. Uplifting hand. Oh, that your hand may be with me. And listen to this one. If this one's not so, then forget the rest of them. He has an irresistible hand. Nobody can tie his hand. This is Isaiah 43:13. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, And who shall hinder it? Oh, that your hand may be with me. What a blessing if God's hand is with us. Those disciples that were scattered in the persecution of Stephen went everywhere preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was what was said. The hand of the Lord was with them. And much people believed. Oh, that's what we need as preachers, ain't it, Walter? The hand of the Lord with us. And the last one, and I'll close with this one. He asked for this blessing. Keep me from evil that it may not hurt me. That's what the center reference says. Grieve me, hurt me. Lord, keep me from evil that it may not hurt me. And God granted him his request, and then he got sick. But it didn't hurt him. And then he lost part of his farm. And then he lost his bank account. But it didn't hurt him. And then he lost his spouse that he'd been married to for 50 years. But it didn't hurt him. And then he got old and weak and lost his mind. But it didn't hurt him. When the Lord blesses you, brothers and sisters, nothing can hurt you. Oh, you say, but it is hurting. Long term? It was said of three men in the scriptures, and all of them had all kinds of trouble. Abraham died in a good old age. Gideon died in a good old age. David died in a good old age. They had all kinds of trouble. But none of it hurt them. Not long term. That's what we're after, long term, ain't it? God in His wisdom, dear soul, answers your prayer and blesses you and keeps you from evil that it won't hurt you. He in His wisdom will so arrange it, and in His love and in His mercy will so arrange it that nothing He puts you through will do you any hurt. I look back over my life and I've had a terrible time. I've shed a bucket full of tears. But I'm standing here today with this testimony. It's not hurt me. It's just not hurt me. Even my afflictions were good for me because the God of Israel arranged it that it didn't hurt me. And you can look evil in the eye. You can look your enemies in the eye. Your afflictions in the eye. And say, you meant it for evil. But my God has blessed me. And it didn't hurt me. Go home. Go home just as you are. And get on your knees alone somewhere. And ask the God of Israel if He would bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Thank you, dear Brother Walter.